You're listening to Cards to the Moon, a podcast about trading cards from both a collector and investor perspective. We hope you'll stick around for the ride as we take a deep dive into the state of the hobby, share some hot takes, hopefully some useful advice and fun stories along the way. Hey guys, welcome back to Cards to the Moon. This is episode 202, and my name is Clark from Five Card Guys on Instagram at fivecardguys.com. Co-hosting with me, as usual, is Hyung of Integrity Sports Cards. John's away this week, but to mark the best day of the year, which is, of course, MLB opening day, we've got two guest hosts with us, and we couldn't think of anyone better than to ask Chris Begg and Jason Willow, who are also podcast hosts themselves, as well as former pro baseball players. And most importantly, they are also card collectors. All right. So we've talked about their show before on our pod called the Oppo Taco Podcast, where they bring their unique insights and expertise about all things baseball. So without further ado, Chris, Jason, welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having me again there, Clark. It's a three-peat.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's first time for Willow.
I even got a smile seeing Clark do the intro because it's weird. I listen to it every week, but seeing him actually do it is like, you know, it feels good.
He's a seasoned vet, unlike us, Willow.
I know.
I feel like a minor celebrity. I was going to mention, Chris, this is your third time on Cards to the Moon. So you're pretty much a veteran. Yeah. And Jason, I guess you are the rookie on this episode, but we know you've got great potential. That's why, you know, you got the call up to our show, and we're expecting big things from you today, all right?
There we go.
We should probably haze him.
We could do that after the show. Yeah, it's a good idea. Okay, so because it is opening day, this episode is going to be all about baseball and, of course, baseball cards. We're going to talk about the upcoming 2024 season. We'll make some predictions, and then we'll talk about how it may or may not impact the hobby. All right, so off the top, let's do a quick Shohei Ohtani and his translator Ipe Mizuhura update. Since we last talked about the interpreter gambling controversy, we've been waiting to see if that would cause some Ohtani cardholders to panic. And there was one Instagram post, I don't know if you guys saw it, but one Instagram post from Filth Bomb Breaks that showed a few collectors offloading some of their Topps Chrome non-auto rookie cards in bulk. Right, so there are some people panicking just a bit. Personally, I haven't seen any of the higher end cards going at a discount. You know, there's some recent sales and they're all going at thousands of dollars. But anyway, the investigation, which MLB has now committed to, is just beginning. So with all that going on, Chris and Jason, what do you guys think of the whole situation? And would you be nervous if you had any big time Shohei cards in your collection?
Bagger, you want to get going?
Well, I mean, you know, none of my Shoheis are graded. They're all raw. And maybe they'll go back down to when I picked up the Topps Chrome rookie in 2020 off eBay for like a dollar or something like that, when he was kind of still unproven, no name. I think he was maybe even hurt at this time. So maybe they'll go back down to those prices and I'll be back in the game again. But I think... I think it's going to be okay. I think Shohei is going to come out clean on the other side, like Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption, man. He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. That's my gut. That's my gut. And I think, you know, if you can get some now, I mean, I think it's a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I think like the little dip we're seeing might be a time to buy. I think me and Bagger talked about this on the Oppo Taco podcast. Like this is going to be a super strung out investigation, right? It's not going to happen overnight. And in my mind, I think all of our minds, like Shohei's like this like likable guy that no one wants to think bad of him. And I don't think people will until something actually in facts comes out. So again, right. He's probably going to do, you know, the crazy things he does on the baseball field, and his prices are probably going to, you know, rebound pretty quick. So until something's proven, I think it's going to stay pretty similar with the prices, but if you can get it, yeah, mm-hmm. little dip, I would go for it.
I think the base cards are kind of taking the hit. I'm seeing more, and that's what we talk about a lot, is when you're going numbered cards versus base cards, you know, you could kind of hold a bit on the numbered cards, but the fluctuation of those base cards, they literally just tank. So I'm seeing a lot of like the PSA 10 chromes, PSA 9 tops chrome. Sorry, beggar, but those.
I was gonna say, hit me up with the links.
We got you.
I would be nervous as a high end if I had a couple high end cards.
Though, yeah.
The story off the bat, like, it's always gonna be in the back of your head, like, what if he does? What if he is guilty? And with the story being so all over the place, like, just out of the gates, it's like, you don't know, right? And again, you don't want to believe it till it happens, but it's kind of a funky one to start.
Agreed. But I think we're all on the same page here. If there's a dip on any of the Shohei cards, we're still all in terms of, you know, seeing this as an opportunity to pick up a Shohei card for that discount that we've all been waiting for, which hasn't come in the last 2-3 years because he's been just mashing, you know, and hasn't gone on any kind of prolonged slump. But
I'm thinking Major League Baseball's already come up with one Shohei Ohtani rule where, like, hey, if you pitch but you're Shohei Ohtani, you come out of the game, you can still stay in the game. So maybe they'll make another Shohei rule. It's like, hey, you can't gamble, but if you're Shohei Ohtani, I mean, double down, you're good. I mean, there'll be two Shohei rules in Major League Baseball now. Pete Rose is out, but Shohei, yeah, game on.
We said this on our pod. MLB needs Shohei. Shohei doesn't need MLB. So, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens because you're right. Like, it is a funky story. And, you know, I've read somewhere that no one can believe Shohei is like the gambling type or would get into this controversy, you know, without knowing it. But then other people said, like, the people that have known Ipe, the translator, they're like, oh, we could have never pictured him being this, you know, gambling addict either. So you just never know. That's my point, right? So,
well, wasn't there something about like Ipe with saying that he went to like UC Riverside or some school?
He didn't actually go.
Yeah. So I think that's where you start digging and it's just like, oh boy, where's this story going, right?
Hey, Willow, remember a few episodes ago on our podcast, I kind of speculated just randomly. I was like, is Shohei a spy? Like, is this guy like so? I was like, and now it's making sense, man. It's making sense. This guy. Yeah.
If Mike Trout didn't know he had a girlfriend and just married her, like, I bet he probably doesn't know he gambles that much money either, right?
Yeah, so. That's true.
Ooh, he picked her up at the craps table.
Hey, serious question. Just about Shohei cards, just that I thought about. Do you think that Shohei's cards were so high in the first place that this is where it kind of like, you know, comes back to reality where even the high end collectors are kind of like, okay, you know what? I'm selling out now. And if the more people sell, the more it crashes, right? So I think, there's an argument saying like, were they sustainable?
Like, this brings it back down to the middle ground again.
Yeah, we've seen it with everybody, right, in the hobby, even cross sports, the Mahomes, the Lucas, you know, the whole bit, right? So maybe it's time where Ohtani prices come back to normal and kind of stay there until the dust settles, right?
It's almost just like he's doing things in the game that obviously nobody else has ever done before. And that's translating to the hobby as well, that the hobby is reacting the way it never has before either. Mm-hmm. Right. So now if it, like you said, this kind of hurts his image a little bit, at least temporarily. And the hobby reflects it. So yeah, maybe it comes back to middle ground and maybe it doesn't increase again based on like he's got this, whatever, maybe speckled history or whatever. It doesn't get back to where it was again. Be good for guys like me.
even without the whole scandal, I kind of suspect that the market would even out a bit on him just the fact that he's not pitching either this year, right?
Right. I was gonna say, yeah.
I think a point again, like you said, Bagger, he's just a freak, right? And to do as good as he does on both sides of the ball, and then this year only hit, like it might kind of bring him down. Like, okay, he's even if he does really well, it's not that same of him, you know, being a stud on the mound and on at the plate. So I saw it kind of leveling out a bit anyways, but with this, we'll see.
Maybe it's just going to level out a bit faster because of all the, you know, the controversy behind this story. And I agree with you. I was thinking that exact same thing too, actually, that because he's not pitching, you know, midway through the season, we realized I was just batting stats and then things will come down to earth. Mm-hmm. So it might have been a good time to pick him up this season anyway, if he had the funds. And then, you know, next year, once he starts pitching, it might go back up, you know, if he does the exact same thing he did last year. So we'll see how it goes.
Because pitchers matter in the hobby. That's why.
Yeah, the little value it brings.
Pitchers who can bat and hit 40 homers matter. Okay, I'll give you that. All right. So, but he's all, I'm going to say this much. Shohei Ohtani's back on my watch list. I had him off for a while because he was just so expensive. He's back on my watch list just in case the dip comes. So we'll keep a closer eye on that. All right. Let's move on now to hobby headlines. So this is why we wanted the hosts of the Apo Taco podcast on with us today, because if you haven't heard their latest episode, both Beggar and Willow, they made a bunch of predictions about the upcoming season, and we'll talk about a few of them here. And then we'll also talk about any card implications it may have and whether we would buy or dump some of these players, especially the rookies and top prospects that everyone likes to collect, all right? First, let's start off with the home run category, because, you know, there is a correlation usually between guys who can hit homers and their card values. Both chicks and collectors dig the long ball. That's what the saying goes, right? So let me ask, who you got for the AL and NL home run leaders? I know because I heard the episode, but for our Cards to the Moon listeners, Chris and Jason, let us know who you got for the AL and NL home run leaders, and then we'll talk about their rookie cards and whether it's good value.
All right, I'll get her going. AL, this is a tough one for me because my one and two, I just really hate to say it, but I got Judge. Judge is my AL home run leader with, it was kind of a flip of a coin with, I think, Soto as well, right, in Yankee Stadium, short porch and right. I see him having some really good long ball numbers this year. And then NL-wise, I got Matt Olson, so a guy who I think underrated still. Like last year, the numbers he put up, crazy. I still think people should have been talking about him more.
54 homers last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and still, like, people talked about him, but not to the extent of, like, what his numbers actually said. So, a guy I think is always a little bit underrated.
Agreed. All right. Good choice.
I did, oddly enough, Willow and I, we didn't even collaborate beforehand. I had Judge winning too, and I had Soto as a secondary pick as well, only because, well, one, we were talking about it kind of before the recording here. Yankee Stadium. Right field, and just Soto just fits so perfectly as a Yankee, as like Will is saying, he's like, I hate to say it, but it works. He just is dominating there. But I will say this. Back on the Mike Trout train, he was the first one to hit a home run this year in the season game. So I might be back on the Trout. If he can stay healthy, he might put up, you know, 40 plus again.
He hit a bomb today.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, and then my thing's like, if Judge doesn't stay healthy, that could be the equalizer, right?
Right.
And my dark horse I'll throw in here is Jordan Alvarez.
Okay.
Jordan Alvarez.
I think he's going to go nuts this year.
I'm a huge Alvarez fan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hyung's a huge Alvarez fan. Yeah, for sure. We did talk about Soto and Judge on our podcast before, in that we think Judge is probably slightly underrated play because all the attention's on Soto this year, him coming to the Bronx, him playing for the Yankees. You guys already mentioned it, the short right field porch, you know, just being that beneficial to lefties. And I've got Juan Soto as well for those reasons. I just don't believe that Judge is going to be healthy all season. That's, you know, you see how he swings. And I would bet money that he doesn't play the full, over under 140. What would you give it? I'll go under this year. And the Yankees are
really under. I'm hoping so.
I'm going.
We should all be hoping. We're Jays fans. Come on.
Yeah.
As Jays fans,
I'm under that. They're going to give them days off anyway.
I'm actually going to go opposite. I think Judge is going to actually have pitches to hit. I think Soto draws a lot of walks. And the reason why I don't have Soto on my list is because the majority of his home runs are to the gaps and oppo, actually. He rarely hits pull side home runs. And yeah, it might be maybe 3 to 4 home runs or maybe a little more than that. But he's a 30 to 35 home run guy. And I still think Judge is going to be a 40 plus guy. And I think Guerrero's going to, Vladdy's going to, you know, surprise some people this year. I think his adjustments that he's made, I know what he's talking about from a hitting standpoint. I watched this thing on Vladdy talking about hitting and how he made minor adjustments, with his hand and his load and his coil, which is huge for a hitter. Like, I mean, when it clicks and you understand something that you were doing before and then you went out and you didn't realize what you're doing, then you figure out that kind of issue. And I think that's where Vladdy's at. So I'm expecting him potentially to hit 40 plus. I think he has a lot on the line in terms of, you know, all the, his peers, Acuna, you know, all the young studs are, you know, holding their own. And it's now Vladdy's turn to kind of pop in there, but I'm still going to go Judge, for the okay. AL. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of card value, the better value seems to be in Judge right now. Cause he's kind of, since his 60 plus home run season, everything's kind of sizzled down a little bit. And Juan Soto has just been creeping upwards during the off season. Everyone's anticipating him doing well. So like, I wanted to pick up a Juan Soto, but now it's just like, it's not good value anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking somewhere else.
I think Vladdy has good value right now too. And I think I think he's got a chance to get back up to the numbers that his cards used to be at. And even though he hit that 450 dead center nuke today, I think still a buy.
Yeah.
A shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I sold my Vladdy out in the off season. So, but I know for a fact that Hyung has a nice blue refractor auto of Vladdy, so he definitely wants Vladdy to do well this year.
Absolutely.
I said this on the pod too, right? Like Vladdy, you know, he hit that monster home run as we're recording this. It's day one, so he hit that first home run dead center. But then he also hits like these monster shots. You're like, oh, it's gone. And it always falls on the warning track. You know, the last at bat?
Yeah. I'm
like,
yeah.
For some reason, Vladdy has a lot of those kind of hits where it's like just shy, you know? So I don't know what that's about. But yeah, Vladdy's a good pick. I also chose Mike Trout. I know, Beggar, you mentioned that. I think if he stays healthy, I have a Mike Trout booming Chrome. So I'm like, please stay healthy for one full season, okay? So I can, you know, maybe flip. But if he's healthy, he's got a shot for sure. Just quickly from the NL side, you guys mentioned Matt Olson. We talked about this last year too. Like, he's doing everything, but there's just no hobby love for Matt Olson. No one cares about Matt Olson for whatever reason, right? Like, it's still dirt cheap for what he's done in terms of his first Bowman Chrome autos.
Yeah, I think Pete Alonso falls into that category too. I would say Pete Alonso would be up there in terms of Matt Olson and Alonso. I think 1 and 2 in the National League for home runs. Pete Alonso has been so consistent too. Yeah, Matt Olson's actually, you know, becoming kind of, I think, relevant. So I think there is a play on both, to be honest, because they're going to hit, at their pace, they're going to hit 500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And we'll talk about milestone markers afterwards. But yeah, great point. Let's move on now to the AL-NL MVP picks. Back to Beggar and Willow. Who do you got?
Beggar, you get us going.
All right. Man, this is going to sound boring again here, but the AL, I got Soto on this one. I think he's just going to be, and it was funny when you were just talking there, Joe, I looked at the lineup today, and not that it can't change, but Soto's hitting ahead of Judge, at least he did today. Soto's hitting 2, Judge was hitting 3, Stan's hitting 4, which to me means Soto's going to get more pitches to hit, and they were going to pitch around Judge, not really too worried about Stanton. Right. Mm-hmm. So Soto, I think, is just going to be stupid. So there's my that's my AL pick. I mean, I got dark horses and everything in there. My NL pick. You got to beat the best guy in the game right now, I think. And that's Acuna. I think he's going to go back to back on it. So I think there's some dark horses there, some other good picks, quality picks. But I have zero reason to think that Acuna is going to tail off at all this year.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll pick up in the NL just to make it easy, but I'm right there with Beggar with Acuna. It's tough not to just think he's going to win it, right? You watch him play, and for me, he's by far the best player to watch in the league. Like, he does, you know, everything. It's not just like he's a guy who only hits home run. It's like how many bags did he end up with last year, right? Just a plus defender too. So a guy, if he stays healthy, I don't see how he doesn't win it. And then AL-wise, again, you wouldn't believe me and Beg are Jays fans, but I went with Judge here. Again, yes,
we're the worst Jays fans ever.
We are the worst Jays fans ever. But I think kind of the same thing that Bagger was talking about. I think with those two in the lineup, they're both, it's going to help each of them, right? With, you know, probably getting more pitches to hit because you can't just get around one. So, yeah, I think if he stays healthy too, I think that's my pick. But again, Trout was someone I had my eye on too. And the degenerate gambler I am at plus 2,000 for Trout MVP.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good value.
Yeah,
pretty
take, good value. Take
those
that.
Odds. Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Like, I this is going to be boring, Clark, but like, I think Soto is going to win the MVP just based on like the amount of walks he draws, you know, the amount of runs he scores. Yeah. And you can't go wrong with either, I think, but, I think Soto is just going to put up ridiculous offensive numbers, 1,000+ OPS this year. And then on the flip side, Acuña is the favorite. I don't see how you could, you know, see how he can't defend that MVP if he stays healthy, because like, I mean, he hit 40+ and 70 bags and hit .330. That's ridiculous. Right.
It's video game numbers.
Yeah, it's video game numbers. It's like a true MVP season. One of the greatest offensive seasons in, I would say, modern history. And then you got, and people might flame me for this, but I think Tatis has a lot to prove. I just believe in his talent. I'm telling you, from a baseball standpoint, talent wise, he has to be one of the most exciting players, other than last name Acuña, you know, in the game, right? So it's between, you know, Soto, Tatis, Acuña, Vladdy. Those four
and
always
Vogelbach.
Excited me. And Vogelbach, yeah.
There's our Jays fan. Well, I picked up right.
Yeah. Pick up that rookie card.
Or birthday cake.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be the only true Jays fan here on this podcast, I guess, because I just think the Yankees are just really overrated, guys. Like, it's, you know, a lot of if statements here when you guys are making your picks. A lot of, you know, if they stay healthy, and I don't think Judge is going to stay healthy. I already said that. Stanton definitely is not going to be healthy. No. So you're just going to have Juan Soto on the two spot. Okay, then who do you got, right? And then, you know, it changes. Everything changes a little bit. You know, Juan Soto's still going to hit, but he's not going to maybe get the RBI numbers that you're, or the runs that you're hoping for, right? And so I picked a team that I think is just, it's my dark horse pick, but I just think there's no attention to these guys or as much as there should be. And the Seattle Mariners, I think they're going to go far this year. And my pick for AL MVP is J-Rod. I think Julio Rodriguez is going to
have
a monster year. You know, he's, you know, what? Is this the third season? Third or fourth? And every year he's gotten better. You know, he's just, you know, the trend is going in the right direction.
Yeah,
so I'm going J-Rod. And then for NL, this is a guy that has no hobby love, but he's Mr. Consistency. The only reason why I don't think Acuña is going to get it is because of the health factor too. Like, he had a monster year because he stayed healthy, right? And a lot of ifs, you know, he's got to stay healthy again, back-to-back seasons. I'm not sure he's going to have that kind of historic season this year like he did last year. He'll probably, you know, it's even for him, that's not easy to repeat, right? So, but I'm going to go with a guy that's just keeps putting up numbers year after year. No hobby love. His name's Mookie Betts from the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think he's going to get his MVP again this year. Dodgers probably the favorites to win the World Series, right? They got to be. And Mookie Betts is going to be a big part of that. So the only reason why I'm not going to get a Mookie Betts rookie card, if you listen to this podcast, I got the first Bowman Chrome auto back in the day, BGS 9.5, for like $30-$40. And I sold it for $60-$70. I made a 2x profit. It's going for about $1,400-$1,500 now. So I cannot buy it back in, knowing that I sold way, way too early. Unless I could get a nice color parallel, then I might go back in on Mookie Betts. But yeah, for what he's done and accomplished in his career, he's
crazy.
So cheap. Yeah. J-Rod, on the other hand, he's pretty expensive, just to let you know. So I'm probably not going to get any of his cards.
Do you want me to throw a counter argument to your Mookie?
Let's hear it.
I think his WAR is going to be down a little bit this year because I don't think he's going to do himself any favors at shortstop. He already committed his first error today, throwing error, and I don't think it's going to be as easy for him as the baseball people are going to make you try to believe. So I think eventually they might have to look for another option at the shortstop position. But until then, he's not going to get that defensive WAR, which could hurt his MVP numbers. But if that does happen, even a better buy because he won't be quite as valuable.
I like that. Yeah, something to think about.
I second that too. And Hyung, you probably think the same. I think we talked about it on our podcast, Bagger, but I said, like, shortstop's a different beast than second base.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a reason that it's so tough to make it to the bigs as a shortstop.
Tatis is a perfect example, too.
Exactly.
And he's a platinum glove. Tatis was a platinum glove outfielder his first year out
crazy.
There. Yeah. But he wasn't a great shortstop.
Yeah.
And now you're going the other way from a gold glove outfielder and being like, hey, you're such a good athlete. You can play shortstop. It's not that easy. It's like
not pitchers, in his prime either.
Yeah. He can't pitch either. He's not that good of an athlete. That's good. Let's be serious here.
Oh, man. All right. We talked about Judge Soto already with the home run category, so we don't have to talk about their card value. So let's go on just briefly because, you know, we got Chris Begg on the show. He used to be a pitcher. And we got to talk about our Cy Young picks. I know in the hobby, no one loves collecting pitchers because, you know, the value isn't, well, the value is there, but it, you know, in terms of making a nice profit from pitchers, it's limited in the number of choices you have. But let's talk about Cy Young anyway. Who do you guys got for AL, NL picks?
All right, I'll start out. My guy, my pick this year, pitched today and he dealt. Baltimore Orioles, Corbin Burnes. He didn't have a great spring, but I wasn't too worried about that. Spring means absolutely nothing for pitchers, especially other than get your innings in, get your pitch count up, and come out of it healthy, which he did. He had 6 innings today, 11 punchouts with 1 hit. It's the first time since 1934 that a pitcher has opened the season with 10 or more punchouts and less than 2 hits. So it's pretty unbelievable start to the year.
Pretty impressive.
And so that's my pick. I like him. But if I had a second pick, I would pick the Seattle Mariners. And you can take a coin toss with whoever you like. Luis Castillo, love him. George Kirby, amazing. Logan Gilbert, like, it's stupid. And then if you want one more, I'll give you Framber Valdez. There's my dark horse. Really like Framber.
All right. That's enough about pitchers, but yeah. Go
ahead. Do you want the NL, or do you want me to do NL, or do you want to just
go NL. Here, go NL before Willow
Jr. Spencer Strider.
Yes.
That's easy. I mean, lock it in.
Easy.
Yes. Lock it in. There's some good secondary ones, but he's the guy.
Strider's the guy, yeah. Willow.
Yeah, NL, I got Strider too. He added that nasty curveball he's got now this offseason.
That's a big pitch. Oh.
Yeah, which, I mean, he was already, you know, untouchable. And then you add this in that's just been getting crazy swing and miss numbers. So, yeah, I don't even see it being close if he just keeps doing what he's going to do. AL, I was Luis Castillo until I saw Kevin Gausman's last spring start the other day. And that changed my mind because he just looked dominant. Again, Gausman, a guy that I get to watch a lot, watching the Jays so much, and I don't know. It's kind of always been there, and I think this is the year for him. So that's a little biased being a Jays fan, but that's my pick in the AL.
Definitely cheap rookies.
I'm going with Corbin Burnes, like with Begger. I just think him with Milwaukee, he got shafted a few times, and I think with this Baltimore offense and this Baltimore team, he's going to be a probably 20 game winner, and he's going to put up some numbers. He puts up numbers every year, and you could tell when a pitcher is like a dominating pitcher where they literally dominate, and that's Corbin Burnes. And I'll say there's Tarik Skubal, who is a dark horse that is going to have a career year this year. He's he had a good day today too, actually, for Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
Pitched 6 innings, no runs. So I think he's going to probably be a candidate as well. And then, yes, Strider is my favorite. I was going to mention what Willow said. As a hitter, man, like that extra, you know, curveball, you know, putting that in the arsenal, it just puts another dimension in a hitter's mind that, you know, one more pitch you have to worry about Spencer Strider. And I think he's just going to, you know, and with the Atlanta Braves offense, it's ridiculous. That combination, I think you're going to really get some numbers out of Spencer Strider this year.
So it's a Strider sweep for sure on the NL side. Mm-hmm. And I had Luis Castillo as well because I just mentioned I'm big on Seattle this year in terms of them making it far. But really, out of pitchers in terms of the hobby and its implications, we're just looking at Spencer Strider, right? Like, is he, like, let me ask you guys, would you pick up a Spencer Strider rookie card?
I think I would. Would I? Think he's okay. if he stays consistent over collectors. The next couple of years. Yeah, it's gotta be paper though, huh, Beggar?
Yeah, has to be paper raw. Maybe a Topps Big League, something like that. Like, we'll get it on those.
No, I think he's gonna put up numbers. I mean, if he stays consistent like he is, like, he has the possibility to put up some really serious career numbers. So I would say so. And again, I know pitchers are always undervalued, but
yeah, okay.
I'll give you something, Hyung. Cho, on yours, Hyung, on yours, yeah. Your pick with Scooble. This is interesting. I brought it up on ours. I looked randomly the last 14 years of Cy Young, so 28 Cy Young awards, and, you know, one in each league. There were only, it was either three or maybe four at the most, came from losing teams. So if you think, I mean, for me, Detroit's not going to have a 500 or better record, no. Right? And same thing, Cole Ragans was another
one.
They
were my pick to win the Central, but no biggie.
Yeah, it's why, I mean, it's a lock. Your gambling addiction is going to come in hard right now. You'll have to double down somewhere else. But so only three or four of the last 28 Cy Young Award winners came from losing teams. So that's why it's like Corbin Burns on that. Like, I see him with 100 plus wins. Yeah. I think that's probably as good of a choice as any.
Makes sense.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Before we go on, when I was listening to your podcast, the Apotaco podcast, and then when Willow picked the Detroit Tigers, I'm like, are you kidding me? The Detroit Tigers.
You guys think I'm crazy, but you just wait.
People are in on them. Like, they got a lot of people.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that.
But under the Twins.
Yeah. It's still under the radar.
I was going to say the correct answer is the Minnesota Twins, but I guess we'll find out.
Well, Central's so weak anyways.
Central, anybody can make it. Couple pieces, you never know. Yeah,
that's why I picked the Guardians, man.
Yeah,
that's true.
It could go okay. Cleveland too. Yeah.
Anyway, Hyung, are you picking up Strider?
I actually sold Strider. I pulled the Strider, and his prices were pretty decent for, you know, what they're going. So yeah, I wouldn't necessarily invest in Strider. I would keep stuff for PC because I think he's going to be one of the best pitchers, you know, in our generation. So, and the guy looks like just like a cartoon character out there with his legs, right? Like, it's just ridiculous. But yeah.
Those thighs and the mustache.
Yeah, the stash. I was going to say the stash. Yeah. I was just trying to make a point. Like, I love Strider as a pitcher, but I'm still not going to collect him.
He's a pitcher.
Just pitchers, you know.
You guys rip all your boxes, keep all the base, and hand them my way. We're good.
Well, donate to Beggar. All right.
The Beggar Fund.
Okay, let's move on to the top rookies and prospects we expect to make an impact this year. And we'll see if any of us would invest in them by buying their rookie cards at their current values, because definitely some of them are pretty expensive already. We'll use the MLB top 100 list. We're not going to go through top 100, but we'll go through the top five or six. And we'll start with rank number five, Wyatt Langford of the Texas Rangers. If you are in the hobby, he is the guy right now. Like, anyone pulling Wyatt Langford, listing it, and it's going for thousands of dollars. So the hype is already there before even playing. Well, I guess I'm not sure if the Rangers already played, but we know he got... Did he play? Okay, so we know he's going to start with the team in game one. So Wyatt Langford, what do you guys think of him?
I talked about this in our kind of season preview episode. Like, I am huge on Wyatt Langford. I think he's going to have such an impact. What amazes me is how mature he is at the plate for a rookie. Like, you just watch him, especially through the spring. Like, he looks like a vet almost at the dish. With his approach, and, you know, he's got power to all fields. And but that being said, his prices right now, it's tough, you know, how much it is going for. I would personally buy because, I have a ton of faith in him. I think he's going to be an absolute superstar with what he showed. But yeah, it's risky call there with how much his stuff's going for right now.
It's funny. Willow and I both had Wyatt Langford as our Rookie of the Year picks, and I was able to watch his first at bat today. And you talk about this incredible approach, and he threw that out the window, his first at bat. He watched six pitches, four of them were strikes, one didn't get called a strike, and the last one for a punch out was like, had a very, very good portion of the plate, and he just watched it. It was like, okay, that we'll chalk that one up as nerves. I don't know, but it did not look good. And I was like, right. I'm out. No. His second one, he did have a sack. Out. Yeah, I'm out. He had it's like after the Jays game today, leadoff home run. I was like, the Jays suck. I'm done.
Me and Bagger were texting each other right away.
But his second at bat, he did have a sack fly. I didn't see it. I just saw the box score. So that's all I know. Yeah, but
I love it.
Yeah, I love Wyatt Langford. I think he's going to be a stud.
Yeah. Okay. I think his prices are really high. There's a lot of hype around him, which is the issue. But you guys hit it on the nail. The type of hitter Wyatt Langford is and his maturity in terms of his approach is what excites me most about him. Kind of like Soto. When you look at hitters, they're not like pull off hitters, hit home runs, you know, and they strike out 150 times. It's like Wyatt Langford actually has that old school approach. He goes the other way. Very mature hitter. He's going to be a 300 hitter, in my opinion, you know, in the big leagues, and he's going to hit home runs. But my thing is, he's still young. He played A ball last year as a 21 year old. He's going from collegiate level pitching to pro pitching, and he kind of flew by the minor league system because, you know, obviously, MLB pitching is a little different than minor league pitching at the end of the day. So I think he's going to get exposed a bit from the get-go. So I think it's going to take him some time to figure out big league pitching. And as he gets more scouting reports on him, they're going to start, you know, doing other things that he hasn't seen before. So it's going to be interesting. But I think his card prices are so high that, you know, you kind of expect failure, just like Volpe last year, Bobby Witt his first year, Julio Rodriguez when he kind of came into the scene. It's a slower start. They adjust to big league pitching, and I think he's going to be there. But I believe in his ability. Yeah, exciting player to watch, and I think he's going to hit.
Yeah, I'm not going to add much more to that because I'm saving Wyatt Langford for one of my hobby hot takes segment, which is coming right after this one. I agree with you in terms of the hobby. It might not be so much a hot take anymore after what Hyung mentioned, but his card's prices are pretty high. So yeah, I'm staying off of Wyatt, but I don't doubt the talent either. All right, let's go number four. His teammate Evan Carter. He was obviously a big factor in the playoffs last year. Contributed plenty during their World Series run. So Evan Carter, what do you guys think?
I think Evan Carter's great. A guy who, I mean, he was a prospect coming up, but I don't think people thought that he would have had the impact that he did for the Rangers last year when he came up late in the year. Card-wise, I think he's right now a buy because I think a lot of the spotlight's on Langford, right? And you got to remember, like, Evan Carter put up crazy numbers last year when he was up, right? And again, I think these two are going to be, you know, really good combo for the Rangers, but again, he could put up better, you know, he's probably going to put up better numbers than Wyatt Langford, but yeah, I would say a buy. I think he's kind of out of the spotlight right now with everyone going nuts on Wyatt Langford. So if you could, I'd buy some of that up.
Evan Carter, the third youngest player in the league right now. So here's a comparison. You tell me if you think it's legit or not. I'm just kind of thinking of it as I go. He's a guy, like you kind of say, he flies under the radar a little bit, super young. Almost kind of like, at least flying under the radar to me, like Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Like flies under the radar, but like he hit over 300 last year. He had 19 bombs in, what do you have? 60, sorry, five bombs and 62 at bats or whatever. I think he's going to hit. I think he's going to do really well. To me, that's a better buy than Wyatt Langford right now. I don't think Langford's a buy.
For me, Carter's interesting. I think he's going to be a solid player. I don't think he's going to be Kyle Tucker in terms of the pop, the power. I think he's maybe, you know, a 20 home run guy if, you know, everything clicks. So I don't know how that's going to react in the hobby. And he did already have his rookie card come out, and kind of like the hype is already kind of like off of him. And like you guys were saying, Wyatt Langford has kind of like the spotlight, especially because Wyatt Langford doesn't have a rookie card yet. But that's why his first Bowman Chrome is crazy. But Evan Carter went through that phase a bit where his first Bowman was kind of like popping off and then kind of fizzled down. His rookie cards came out. But yeah, I'm off of Evan Carter right now as well. I think he's going to be a great player, but in terms of hobby price, I'm kind of staying off of him.
Same. I think the ceiling for Evan Carter is like he hit it during the playoff run last year, to tell you the truth. And I love that Kyle Tucker comp. Like, I was just a huge Kyle Tucker fan when he came into the league. I thought, oh, this guy is underrated for what he's doing. But he's one of the, you know, we talk about hobby logic on our show all the time. Things in the hobby that just don't make sense, you know. And Kyle Tucker fits in one of those categories because, you know, he's plays for a great team. He hits every year. And he's consistent. And I looked at his Bowman Chrome, first Bowman Chrome rookie auto. It came out in 2015. And you could get a base one for $163, BGS 9.5. So that's in a beggar's budget.
Graded, huh?
Right? So
except sorry, for the it's whole graded. Grading thing.
So you can get it for under 100 raw, right? So even better for you. But if Tucker is like, you know, what you hope Carter will be, I mean, in terms of the trend, in terms of hobby prices, it doesn't look great. So Carter's one of those guys that maybe just PC. All right, we'll go top three now. Junior Caminero from the Tampa Bay Rays. He's not playing for the big club to start the season, but I'm sure he'll get called up soon enough. So what do you think about Caminero?
I'll go with Caminero. I like Caminero. I don't know if he's going to hit enough to become a superstar. Like in the Tatis Acuna kind of, like I see Jackson Churio there, and Caminero has been raking at every single level. So it's going to be his to kind of, like, I mean, if he keeps on continuing in the big leagues like that, but like we talked about with Wyatt Langford, it's like big league pitching is different. We'll see how he responds. You know, he's not the most popular player, even in prospecting. He's a top, you know, five prospect, but in terms of his hobby love, I don't think he gets that same love as like a Jackson Holliday or a Jackson Churio, that type of prospect. So I'm off of Caminero. I was on Caminero before he kind of made his way through the minors. But then now that he's kind of at that, you know, stage where he's probably going to start in AAA and, you know, get another call. But, you know, he hit 235, I believe, in his debut last year, and obviously he's still young, but yeah, I just don't want to necessarily dump money into him right now.
I'm right there with you. I think he does have I think he's got 70 great power, so like that's always there, right? And if he does come up and he's a, you know, a guy who 35 40 plus a year, like, yeah, the value is going to be there. But I kind of agree with Cho. I think he might have some troubles, but again, it's early. I think he's got possibility too, but if I had to bet on it, I would say no.
Okay.
I'll give you an argument for the other way. First and foremost, I have a hard time betting against somebody who's done it their whole career. And so far in the minor leagues, all he's done is hit, you know, 324 last year in the minor leagues, 314 the year before. Hit 31 home runs last year in under 500 at-bats. So I have a hard time betting against that. The other thing is, right now, there used to be a guy, I mean, he's playing shortstop and third, I think. There used to be a guy who was blocking him at short in Tampa. There isn't anymore. So, I mean, that's wide open. They kind of had like a stopgap guy right now, but it's like when that position, when Caminero's ready, that position's going to be his for the taking, and he's going to get every chance to take it, right? So, if as long as he doesn't, you know, absolutely suck, which he's done it so far, so I don't have any reason to bet against him. And like I said, he didn't make an opening day roster, so he's off people's radars right now. So it might be a good time to pick him up while he's a little bit cold. And then when he gets a call up and hopefully does well for, well, we say that again as Jays fans. Hopefully he sucks so the Rays suck. But if he does do well, then you might have a good investment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the value is certainly there. I just looking at his prices, his PSA 10, first Bowman Chrome, which is 2023, autograph, just sold March 19th. So just last week for $338. It used to go for a lot more when he was first called up last season. So it's definitely dropped. So it's a good time to pick him up if you believe him as a player. And out of the three that we mentioned, I think he has the best value with the higher upside in terms of a short-term flip, right? Like if you're looking to make a short-term flip, it's at the bottom right now, I think. And he still has the potential to do well when he does get called up. And I like that what you mentioned, Chris, that, you know, that when he came up late last year, you know, like there's always this adjustment. And I like guys who go through that adjustment period early or have gone through it. And then when they get called up again, hopefully, you know, they are better prepared. And then you see them hit like they did, you know, in the minors and just coming up the system. So I think Kevin Arrow has that ability. And like you mentioned, there's a spot for him when he gets called up at the shortstop position. So nothing to worry about there. All right, here we go. I said top five or six because there is only one pitcher in the top five, six. And, you know, I'm like, should we talk about pitchers still? Should we? And Beggar's looking at me like, yeah, we should. Paul Skeens. Is that how you say
his name? He deserves a mention.
Paul Skeens. He is number three on the list for the Pittsburgh Pirates, right? The Pirates organization.
Yeah, they still have a team. Yeah.
Well, Beggar, you tell us, what do you think of Skeens as a pitching prospect?
You know, I've only watched him a little bit, seen some highlights, and then I watched his outing in that spring breakout game, and he legit looked like a polished big leaguer. He attacks hitters. He's got that, I mean, fastball at 100 to 102 miles an hour. He's got a really good slider, and then his changeup is like his third pitch, and it's filthy. So, I mean, again, he's a big body guy that I don't necessarily, I mean, every pitcher's at risk of getting hurt, as we're seeing daily almost. But as far as, I guess, risk aversion, he might be your least risky of like body types of a guy that might get hurt. So, I mean, and again, Pittsburgh, it's not a matter of if he's going to get called up. It's when, and I think it's going to be sooner rather than later, especially because we've talked about like the NL Central sucks. So if Pittsburgh feels like there's a chance that they might win it or at least get in there for a playoff picture, they can't wait on a guy like this. They can't wait until next year or wait until July. It'll be an early call-up, I think, once he gets a couple innings, and then they can probably May 1st comes around where they can control him for another year. Like, I think he's going to be up there soon, and you know, he might be a dark horse for your rookie of the year.
Oh, interesting. All right. Anyone else have anything to add for Paul Skeens?
I think he's super exciting, and I think that's like a big value in him. I do worry a bit about the fastball, just again, in college, 100 plays a lot better than it does in professional baseball, especially when you make to the big leagues, right? You know, you got at least one guy in every bullpen throwing 100 nowadays. So I don't know if that plays as much, but again, a guy who is exciting to watch. And I think that's like a big, big part, at least for some card value. Like everyone wants to see Paul Skeens throw 100. It's like DeGrom, right? It's like, it's so entertaining to see a guy who's sitting 100 as a starter who just makes people look stupid. So I don't know. I'm excited to see what he does. I'm kind of rooting for him, but we'll see.
You're rooting for him because you want to see his girlfriend on TV a little bit more. The TMZ report that we get from Willow every week.
Jeez. So if the girlfriend doesn't listen to this pod.
Big Five Card Guys fan.
Yeah. With Paul Skeens, there's no doubt that he's going to, you know, become, you know, an all-star. Like, I think everything's in the works there, and you kind of think that he's kind of like the biggest arm coming up. But you look at Spencer Strider prices in terms of the hobby, you know, is it the right time to buy him now? Probably not. There's enormous amounts of hype, even in his Bowman draft card as well. So I think the talent, definitely, it's going to play. But in terms of hobby price, it's the pitcher. It's the pitchers, right? It just won't get the love that it deserves, rightfully. But yeah, it's I think he's going to be a dude, period. But his price is not so much.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, the hobby is that for pitchers, you have to prove yourself to have an amazing career. You know what I mean? Like, if your name's not Clayton Kershaw, mm-hmm. Justin Verlander, Nolan Ryan, like, these guys have, you know, it's like the longevity of the career also counts for pitchers, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of investing in pitchers within the hobby. But I mean, I'm looking at Paul Skeens, like, a lot of them aren't graded because it's relatively new. So this might be for you, Beggar, but his raw first Bowman Chrome card just sold for $155. So, you know, it's not too bad.
Here we go.
All right. Okay, the last two, obviously we know who they are. They both have the same first names. We'll talk about them together. Jackson Churio is number two, Jackson Holliday is number one from Milwaukee Brewers and Baltimore Orioles, respectively. Out of the two, who do you like better? And which card would you, I guess it would kind of answer the second question, which rookie card would you want if you had to choose one of those guys?
Well, I'm going to defer on this one to start. That's a tough one.
That is a really tough one.
All right.
John, why don't you go? Because we have talked about it on our show before.
I was saying Jackson Holliday as a rookie of the year potential. Just adding to that Baltimore lineup, I really like that mix. And you won't find a cleaner swing than Jackson Holliday's. Like, and why that matters is his barrel stays through that strike zone. He's going to barrel a lot of baseballs in his career. And his dad obviously being, you know, a legend himself. So I think that I like over the Jackson Churio. But I do like Churio. You know, I always talk about him on this podcast. I think Churio is kind of like the next closest thing to Acuna, minus the defense, I would say. It's tough because Jackson Holliday, that is a guy that I think, you know, could potentially actually help the Baltimore Orioles this year, go deep.
Yeah, I agree there. I'd probably go Jackson Holliday. I think he's just, he's hit at every level he's been at. He's, you know, proven himself. Like Cho said, his swing, again, for how young he is, with how smooth his swing is, it's just, again, a mature. I mean, you have a dad like that, I'm sure you're probably going to be pretty mature, you know, run around the clubhouse as a kid and all that. But I'm super excited to see. I mean, he might turn into one of my favorite players once he comes up, even though he's an AL East guy who isn't on the Jays. But
we're the worst fans.
We are the worst fans ever. Yeah,
it's unbiased podcast today. We got to show love to our American fans too. You know,
but then right there with Cho too. Churio, I think if anyone can fill kind of Acuna's shoes of being that guy to do it all, he's the guy. Will he do that? Who knows? Again, defensively, I think he's lacking a bit. I think he's got a little bit of actually a pooslinger of an arm. So I don't know if that, you know, changes much in the hobby price. But I mean, both guys who are just so excited to see how their careers, you know, pan out.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it'll be a sweep for me. And it's just, I mean, the other thing too is like they both play premium positions, right? Jackson Holliday, shortstop. I mean, maybe moves away from there, in big leagues. But Jackson Churio, center fielder. They're both fast. They both can swing it. I mean, I like as a team, I like the Orioles more. So maybe that helps Jackson Holliday a little bit. It might get more playoff runs or anything like or something like that over the next few years. I don't know. But I, you know, at the same point, I really like the Brewers too. They got like a really good young core, yeah, you know, like a young organization, minor leaguers and stuff coming mm-hmm. up. So it's really tough for me. It's a push. I'm probably gonna go with whichever raw cards are cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue the talent for both Jacksons, yeah. But this is what I want to ask you guys. So in terms of cards, and it's not raw, okay, but you know, if we picked the PSA 10 as the kind of the standard, if I told you that Jackson Holliday's PSA 10 First Bowman Chrome Auto went for twice as much as Jackson Churio's, which one are you going for? 1300 to 650.
Are we in the pick one already?
Yeah.
You know what? We've done this as a pick one on the pod before.
We did.
So I want to ask Beggar and Willow what they would pick. And then we'll tell you what we picked if you hadn't heard the episode yet.
Willow, you want it?
I'll say this. I think buying Jackson Holliday as of today, you're going to get a spike when he gets called up anyways. I think once that hype goes and he gets that actual call up to the bigs, I think there's going to be a spike in prices again. But then you see it all the time, right? Guys who get to the big leagues and, you know, tough couple first months, and that might hurt some prices. So honestly, off price, I'd probably go Churio. But again, I think it's tough. You know, Holliday might be a grail PC forever, but we'll see. Beggar, what do you got?
Okay. I was going to actually say Churio as well at the price difference, only because at best, and you guys know this, prospecting and figuring out who's going to actually be a superstar or a star or not is a crapshoot anyway.
Yeah.
So if it's 1A and 1B, I'm going to go with the cheaper one. At, you know, that discrepancy, I'm going to go with the cheaper card, because there's really just as likely that he's going to hit in as a superstar as Jackson Holliday.
Great points. And yeah, I don't think I think
the price is the kicker for sure. So yeah, Churio sweep.
Churio
good
sweep.
Thing we're all so decisive.
Yeah. We're just giving good advice. You got to go for Churio if it's half the price. So there you go. There you Jackson go. Churio sweep in terms of cards, but in terms of player, Jackson Holliday sweep. So I think that's the way we decided for this episode. All right. Before we close off the segment, just quickly, there are some milestone markers that some of these players are most likely going to hit. I'm going to tell you a few of them, and you tell me if you think it's going to impact their card prices. If they do hit those markers, if there's just going to be a bump. All right. So let's start with home runs. Aaron Judge, he just needs to hit 43 more homers, and he reaches this 300 home run club. You think there's going to be a spike if he does achieve that?
I'll go. I'm going to say no, because I don't think 300 is enough of a milestone. It's not significant enough.
Yeah.
It's nothing these days. And I don't want to say nothing. It's still 300 home runs, but it's not. And especially for him, because that's not where he's going to peak.
I think Giancarlo Stanton has surpassed that already.
Stan, I think, has like 435 or something.
Yeah,
like
he's going to hit 500 and he gets no hobby love.
Yeah, he could. There's possible there, right? As long as he can stay on the field for a couple of years. But I don't think it's going to do anything to Judge's cards.
Do you think him being 31 is a factor, though? Because Rizzo's going to hit that 300 home run club, Anthony Rizzo, and he's 34. And Andrew McCutchen, is going to hit that 300 home run club, and he's 37. So Judge is definitely younger than those two other players. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, the faster you hit it.
Me and Beggar have been saying McCutchen might just hit that last one and retire on the
walk
spot.
Walk it off. Right? Come across the plate and hang up the jersey right there.
He's the equivalent of Ovechkin in hockey. Once he passes Wayne Gretzky, he's
going to
take off his skates and leave. Yeah.
So is Vogelbach.
I agree with Beggar, though. I don't think 300 is that big of a number anymore.
True.
But again, I mean, what did you say? It was 43 until he breaks it?
Yep.
But if he goes 50-plus, I think it's going to add value to him. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think the single-season home run is more
100%.
Important for him. And then, like, Judge is still behind. Remember, he's a late bloomer. And he still has some catch up to do, but I mean, at the pace he's going, like he's gonna hit some homers. He's gonna hit the 500 marker if you know he stays healthy. But I think even though he's 31 years old, I think he's still behind in terms of where kind of like that trajectory of the Hank Aarons and the Albert Pujols is. Like he's gonna have to do some serious damage in the next 10 years to, you know, try to even have that conversation. So 300 still, you know, a long ways away from that. A lot can happen. So yeah, I'm going to say no as well.
Okay. Let's move on to the next guy, Mike Trout. He's 30. Well, he had a home run today. So he's 31 home runs now from the 400 home run club. Does that make a difference?
For me, I think it's the similar situation. I'm looking, I actually just pulled his baseball reference page up too. He's 32, so he's a year older than Judge, I guess. But it's, again, same thing, 400. Like, it's not there for me yet. It's
500 is the marker.
It's big, yeah. It's got to be 500. And again, like, you put up those single season marks. Like, if Trout wins the home run title this year or something like that, or hits 50 this year, because I don't know if he's ever hit 50. I don't think he has.
No.
Those will be, I think, more the markers than 400 right. will be.
Good point. All right. I got some more stats, and I know this episode's running long. So I do want to talk about this. Clayton Kershaw, he's 56 strikeouts away from reaching 3,000 career strikeouts. Is that a good number in terms of his accomplishment and, yeah, everything he's done?
Cards to the moon. Double. I mean, they're going to massive inflation. It's the way it should be. I'm going to like inflate all the prices. You're going to see some new eBay comps at historical pricing. Yeah. Now, 3,000 is the barrier.
Yeah.
And right. People see it. You know, you're starting to do the foreshadowing. He's a Hall of Famer, so you start to buy in now. I mean, if you're smart, you buy now before 3,000, especially because he's injured. He's not playing. He's, you know, off everybody's radar. Pick him up now. You're going to get the boost when he comes back, probably a little bit. Boost at 3,000. And then, you know, I don't think his career is that much longer. And then it's going to be Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
Great.
I think he just holds so much longevity too. I mean, he's, when you think about at least like last 20 years, you know, of best pitchers, he's like one that comes to mind right away. And he's done it for so long, right? So again, I think that'll, it helps a ton, but I think even just past that, I think he's a great hold because, yeah, longevity of his cards, I think his prices will stay decent for a while.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Kershaw is, he's always been a buy on my radar just because he's probably one of the best modern day pitchers in our era that we've seen, at least consistency and war wise in terms of the impact he's had on his team. The thing is, obviously he's not throwing 200 innings every year like he used to. So that's a big factor. It's going to take a little longer, but at the end of the day, I think he's done enough in his career where, you know, he's Hall of Fame bound. And yeah, I think between him and Verlander and all these underrated, you know, pitchers that's been around that, you know, are Hall of Fame, you know, right there in the Hall of Fame ballots, I think they're all good plays from the hobby standpoint.
Scherzer's the other one,
yes.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Gerrit Cole, obviously, too.
Yeah.
Yep, I think we're all on the same page here. I'll just say this. Clayton Kershaw is the only pitcher on my eBay watch list. He's the only guy I want right now. So, and I want...
No, you know, not the Chris Begg Bowman first.
You can get those. Actually, I mean, they're undervalued.
Actually, I do want one of those for sure.
Yeah, we got to get one of those.
To autograph it. Yeah, let's do a group buy.
We'll pick up a box of 2007. We'll see if we can pull one. I think they're pretty cheap.
I think that'll be fun.
Actually, it might be in the same. It might even be in the same set as Kershaw. We can pretend that we're going for Kershaw's, but we're not.
No,
we're going for Bang.
Well, the box is going to be that much more expensive now. If Kershaw, I mean, if Chris Begg is in it, who cares about Kershaw?
You had it right.
So I'm going to just name these stats. We don't have to talk about it. It's interesting for me to hear. So Corbin Burns, he's 130 Ks away from 1,000 career strikeouts. Spencer Strider, 17 Ks away from 500 career strikeouts. And this was a funny one. Juan Soto, if he walks 29 more times, he'll have the record for most walks by a player under 26 years old.
Wow, crazy.
So he's definitely got a good eye. All right. Yeah, that was a fun segment. Hobby headlines. We talked about a lot there, and we're just excited about the 2024 season. All right, let's move on to hobby hot takes. All right, we used to do this in season one, right? When we did like a hot take every other week, and we haven't done this in a while. We just kind of stuck to our regular pick one, but I wanted to bring this up because I wanted to throw out a couple to the group here, and I know some of you might have a hot take of your own, so we'll hear it and then we'll just react to it. All right, so the first one I kind of hinted at the start of the show, Wyatt Langford, I think, is going to be a bust this season. I don't think it's going to be a bust in the career, but I think it's going to be a bust this season. And his cards are probably going to drop about 50% in value. And the reason why I say this is that the Texas Rangers are a strong team still, right? Defending world champions. I think they have just as good a shot to repeat. And for that reason, I don't think they need to rush Langford into the lineup. You know, they could use him whenever they want, however they feel is necessary, because they have such a strong lineup already. So I think he's going to have limited at-bats. He's going to struggle because it is first season. I expect that from him. And yeah, anyone that, you know, has a Wyatt Langford first Bowman Chrome auto right now, it's probably a good time to sell now and then pick him up later. What do you guys think of that first initial hot take?
I think it's bold. I saw a hot take on social media last night that it was Wyatt Langford actually hits 45 plus home runs. So like, kind of an opposite of what you're saying.
Okay.
That's a super hot take.
That's a hotter only player under 23 to ever do it. So that's a very hot take, but
yeah.
I like that hot take better. I like that one better, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I have a, right.
Go ahead.
I mean, I don't have to say it now, but that hot take aligns with kind of one that I was thinking
of. Go for
it.
No.
Perfect. Okay. Well, if you want me to do it, then it's like one of them is neither rookie of the year will start the year or has started the year in the big leagues. Mm. So why Langford was one of the guys. On the other side, my rookie of the year favorite was Jackson Churio. So I'm saying it's possible that neither one starts the year in the big league. So in the AL side, you know, we talked about Jackson Holliday, right? He's got to be up there. But yeah, guys like Jason Dominguez is going to come back partway through the season, right? Ricky Tiedemann's one with the Jays that I think he's going to be up in the big leagues sooner rather than later. We mentioned Junior Caminero, right? Need him. And on the And you know, on the NL side, we talked about Paul Skeens. If he comes up early and dominates, then there's like other studs like James Wood and Dylan Cruz with Nationals. Pete Crow Armstrong, I'm really high on that with the Cubs.
PCA, yeah.
None of them are starting in the big leagues. So if they come up, I mean, is there a chance that neither rookie of the year we are seeing on a big league field right now?
I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
I think that's very possible, actually.
I think that's possible. Yeah. I think 100%. It's because there's so many studs and they have that bonus of calling up younger players. There's more incentives for that. So I think MLB wants that in general. And realistically, I think there's so many prospects that can make an impact. Like you said, James Wood, he was one of my guys that I'm like, how could you not like that? This guy's like O'Neill Cruz and Ellie De La Cruz put together, and he's stronger than both of them, but just as big, right? Like it's nuts. The type of talent that's in the minor leagues right now, which is exciting. So I think that could realistically happen is like the rookie of the year comes from a AAA player currently or a AA player currently right now.
Sure. Yeah, I like that one. All right, I got one more. So forget J-Rod, forget Acuna, forget Soto. Next face of the league, and you know, Shohei's got his own issues right now, right? So the next face of the league is going to be Bobby Witt Jr. I think he's going to be going to have a monster season. You know, I think he's just like in the shadows of some of these guys that I just mentioned. And if you look at his cards, and I'm looking to pick one up, hopefully soon. But if you look at his first Bowman Chrome Autos, PSA 10, you know, it's going for $825 right now. And I'm talking about base first Bowman Chrome Auto, $825 versus J-Rod, which is going for $1,250 versus Acuna and Soto, which are going for $2,400. Both going for $2,400. So I think the value is there for, and Bobby Witt Jr., if you look at his projections, if you're into fantasy, he's looks like he could do a 30-40 season, right? Compared to J-Rod's 30-30. And of course, Acuna is all about staying healthy, right? Mm-hmm. And Bobby Witt Jr.
I could see it. I don't think on with the Royals being, you know, probably sub 500 team, that's the one knock. If they do better, I can for sure see that.
He's the guy that almost brings the Royals back to relevance, right? And he signed a huge contract, which I love. Like, I'm with you, Clark. I'm a huge Bobby Witt Jr. fan. He is another guy that's on the MVP watch list. I think he he could do it. The only thing is kind of what I said, same thing about Cy Young, is like, it's tough to win MVP or one of those big awards on a losing team, right? And the Royals are going to lose. They're not there yet. But I love Bobby Witt Jr. And yeah, he's everything the Major League Baseball wants a player to be. So yeah, he could easily fill in there as the face of them.
And he's a collector too.
And he's a collector. Yeah, big collector.
Love it.
Yeah, Witt Jr. for me, he's a stud, but I just don't think he's going to hit enough. I just don't think he's going to hit that 300. He's a 260 to 280 hitter. I would just say one step below Julio Rodriguez, that type of player. Like, he's not that superstar that Julio is. Well, he is a superstar, don't get me wrong, but like, we're talking fine line, a superstar to like that second tier superstar type player. And that's where I would categorize Bobby Witt, kind of like if he hits, you know, 30 plus, steals 30 plus bags, hits like 290, 300. Yeah, I think now we're talking in terms of, okay, he might be in that same category, but I just don't think he's going to hit enough to be in that category unless he hits like 300 plus, which he hasn't in his career.
Mm-hmm. Right. Fair enough. These are hot takes. All right. Anyone else have any more?
Yep. I got one.
Okay. Yeah.
I love this one too. Ronald Acuña is the first ever player to go 50-50 in a season.
Oh, because he did 40-70. 40-70, right?
No, yeah. 50-50s.
Okay.
I remember when I played, I remember hearing that Matt Kemp thought that he could do a 50-50 season. And then I think he got hurt, actually.
There you go.
I like it. I do like it because I think that's kind of like a milestone that a guy like Acuña will strive for. So it's like, okay, I've done the 40-70. If I do 40-70 again, it's like, okay, great. And yeah, you're going to help your team win and everything. But it's like, if I maybe don't run as much or whatever it is and just focus on power, I can steal 50 bags in my sleep. But if I can get a few, like whatever, how many home runs he hit last year? Was it 41 or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if he hits, you know, to say 10-ish more home runs, then he can break another barrier. I mean, all those things just add to a guy's legacy. I mean, this guy is unbelievable, right? So, yeah, it's possible.
I like
it. Let's say probable, but very possible.
If there's a guy that's going to do it, it's Acuña. But
yeah, I agree.
The 50 is tough. Just based on, I mean, Matt Olson hit 54 last year or whatever. Marcelo Ozuna hit 41 or 40-something. Acuña hit 4. Like that whole Braves team. So it's like, how many home runs can they collectively hit? Like 50 is like 10 more. It's like so ridiculous, right? So if there's a guy that's going to do it, it's definitely Acuña. I don't think he can get to that 50 marker. I just don't think that's his gameplay. He's not that Matt Olson type where his fly balls are leaving, you know, if he mishits it. Right. So I just, yeah, like 50 home runs is like hot take. Yeah.
Hot take.
For sure. But if there's somebody, it's Acuña.
Agreed.
It's not much good one,
I think I like that too. Yeah. I think I saw one of his quotes recently where he's all in on trying to help the Braves win the World Series. That's his number one goal.
Love that.
So I can't see him being like selfish, like, oh, you know, I'm going to go for the 50 home run record. You know, he'll do whatever he can. If he needs to steal 80 bases, he'll probably do that first before going for like individual records. But yeah, I like that one. All right.
Do you want another one or what?
Yeah, one last one. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. And this is one that both Young and Willow have a connection with, a name that has not been brought up this podcast yet.
Okay.
Tristan Casas will win the Silver Slugger Award for first baseman in the AL.
Let me take a look at Tristan Casas here.
Okay, so I'll give you. He had a really, really good second half. Okay. First baseman in the AL is weaker, way weaker than the National League. You're looking at guys, obviously, like Vladdy, Spencer Torkelson, Yandy Diaz, and Josh Naylor. Those are kind of your next or your big four. And Casas. So Vladdy's probably, Yandy. I think he won it last year, didn't he? Yandy won Silver Slugger. So those are your guys, Tristan Casas.
I could see it. I mean, me and Bagger talk about it all the time, but in 2017 at the World Championships that I played in, and Hyung and Bagger coached me, when we played Team USA there, who just a stacked lineup.
He killed us.
Yeah, but he was by far the best hitter.
Yeah,
and like
in the tournament.
In the tournament, yeah, a lot of talent there. So, kind of seeing it firsthand, like, and I remember watching him like playing against him. I was just like, kind of like, I couldn't. I was just like, this guy can hit, right? Mm-hmm. So again, crazy hot second half last year. I could see it, man. I really could. So I don't think that's that hot of a take, actually, Bagger.
See, that was the other side. It's like, is it that hot of a take? But I think everybody's so high on Vladdy, and then Yandy won it last year, right? So it's like, you got to beat those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see him hitting 30 plus. He's a 30 plus home run guy. He's not good. I don't think he has a stick to hit like 280, 300, but like he definitely has the power to be that guy for sure. Absolutely. I don't think it's too much. I think he's such a good hitter in general that he's gonna run into it. And the guys you mentioned, I think realistically, yeah, he's right in the mix already, even from last year, right? So, but yeah, Vladdy's obviously, you know, Vladdy. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it's a good one to end off on because it is like, I want to bring up a hobby point here because Tristan Casas, he was a chase 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, like when he came on the 2018 Bowman. He was one of those guys, like, if you pulled him, you're ecstatic because he had value right off the bat. But he is one of those guys now with a lot of you know, guys that are 24-25, and John's talked about it on our show, the 3-4 year lull, where if you haven't established yourself as this like superstar rookie by year two, people just forget about you, like the collectors just forget about you, and you know, and then you got to reinvent yourself, and or you got to hit these amazing individual markers. So he's one of those guys, like even if he wins the silver, like he's got to do a lot more. And I just looked up his PSA 10 first Bowman Cromado. It's selling for under 200 right now. But, you know, back in 2018, 2019, it was triple that, right? Right off the bat. So one of those guys, and it's just a point that prospecting is really tough in baseball. And, you know, like, you know, it's a lot of these guys are teenagers when they're called up, and it's almost like hitting the lottery in a lot of ways in terms of like knowing which ones to collect. All right. I like that segment, Hobby Hot Takes. We should bring it back for future episodes. I think it was just hard to come up with really, really good hot takes week after week, and that's probably why we stopped. But anyway, let's finish off this show with our regular weekly segment we call Pick One. And usually Hyung goes first and then I go right after and John finishes up. But, you know, since we have Beggar and Willow, we decided that they would choose the pick ones and we would just chime in to see which two of their cars they choose we would rather invest in. So, Beggar, do you want to start things off for us?
Sure, I can. I mean, mine is a pick one between three cards. Is that doable? Oh, and it'll make sense. It'll make sense. Pitchers? It'll make sense to you, though, when I do it. Okay. Because these guys are tied together in the collecting hobby, I do believe. And so we're going to turn back the clock, obviously. We're going 2001. Topps Chrome traded Ichiro. Topps Chrome traded Pujols. And the Topps Chrome traded with both of them on it. The dual card there.
Yeah, the dual card.
Okay,
so I'll give you the prices for Ichiro. The last three sales were between $2,500 and $2,800. Okay. And there, the pop is $327 on PSA 10. These are PSA 10s. I even did graded for you guys for you.
Okay.
So $2,500 to $2,800. The Pujols with pop of $441. So about another $100, $120 is $1,600 to $1,800. And the dual card, which has a pop of less than both of those at $230, is $2,300 to $2,400. Those are the last two sales. There were only two, kind of recent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, what did the last one go for? The dual?
$2,300 to $2,400. So Pujols is $1,600 to $1,800. The dual is $2,300 to $2,400. And the Ichiro is $2,500 to $2,800. So that's less, least to most.
I'll go. I think I'm going to go with Pujols. Like, I think Price is right. I think Pujols, 700 plus home runs. Like, that's four people, right? Or something like that, three or four. So for me, it's for the price, half the price as Ichiro, I'm going to go with Albert Pujols. That's a nice, I like that card. Like, that card's a sick card, especially the Chrome version, which that's the Chrome, or is it?
Yeah, this is the Chrome.
Yeah, that's a sick card.
I'll tell you what, side note, I bought this one like in the Toronto, like the sports card show in like 2001, before it was in Beckett. Yeah, we're going back to Beckett. Before it was in Beckett, I bought this for like $2, and I bought the base one for like $1.
That's a great buy.
it's not a bad buy.
That's a great buy. Well done.
Nice. Will, you want to go?
I would. For value, I would go with Pujols. If it was going to be PC, I'd probably go for the dual. I just think that's such a, you know, pretty cool, unique, iconic card there. So a little torn, but for value, I'd go for Pujols. And then if it was PC, I'd for sure go for the dual.
I'll go for Ichiro. I just think that's one of his recognizable rookie cards, right? And for me, when I think of Pujols, his best rookie card's obviously going to be his Bowman Chrome auto, right? But I don't know, if you look at it the right light, it's kind of a color match for Ichiro. So I don't know if it's faded, but it's kind of a color match. You know, I'm a sucker for color.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for color match-ish cards. So, you know, despite the higher price, you know, I'm going to go for Ichiro. And the pop is right there at 330. That's not too bad. I'm not a huge fan of dual cards, though. Like, you know, I mean, you know, Ichiro Pujols, obviously, we joke with the problem with dual cards, you never know if the one of those players is going to tank. Obviously, they're both Hall of Famers, so you don't have to worry about that. But just generally speaking, I'm not a big fan of dual.
See, I'm more of an optimist, I think, Clark, because I wish they brought more of those back, because I used to love it back in like 1990 when you'd get like four guys on a card and you're like, man, if one of these guys hits, this card is like money. This is awesome. Kevin Moss. Let's go Kevin Moss. I think he was on a card with Derek May or something like that. Neither of them hit. In Fleer, 90 Fleer. All right, I'll say, well, I like the dual card only because, yeah, in a couple of years, you're going to have two Hall of Famers on the one card. I really do like it. But in saying that, I was with Willow. For value-wise, that Pujols, I mean, it seems like a steal compared to the other ones, right? They're all legendary players. They're both first ballot Hall of Famers, like maybe unanimous, maybe both of them. There's a possibility. Maybe that should be your hot take. But yeah, I'd love that Pujols one to go with this dual one.
Good one. I like it. All right, Willow.
Okay, here we go. And before I get, you got to give the guys on this podcast, the regular hosts, some credit, because I listen to it all the time. And I told these guys before we got on that you're listening to these pick ones and you're like, oh, this must be easy to pick two cards to, you know, put up against each other. And then when you're in the hot seat and you got to actually do it, probably took me an hour and a half today to find it. All over.
Yes, the struggle is real, guys.
It was a lot of work. It really is.
We've done 200 of them.
I know. That blew my mind too. You get some of your tips, but I got two young shortstops. And it's funny because I always hear you guys talk about the podcast of how the Valium Bowman for baseball versus tops. So this will be an interesting one. So first card, PSA 10, Gunnar Henderson, 2023 Topps Chrome Blue Refractor Rookie Auto. So at a 150, last sold for $875 March 21st, pop 32. Second card, PSA 10, Anthony Volpe, 2020 Bowman Chrome First Auto Refractor out of $499, last sold for just over $1,000 last week as well, pop 110. So,
ooh. All right. Sorry, the Gunner pop was
32, again? A lot lower.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. So I love these there. Sounds. You know, Topps this makes my Bowman. Hour and a half today feel like I put some solid work in.
No, this is a good one. Good one, too.
All right. I think I can go.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the player that I believe in more, and that's going to be Gunner. I'm not totally in on Volpe, and regardless of if the card is better or Bowman or Tops or whatever, if the player isn't, you know, as good, the card's not going to be as valuable. So I, and it, tell me that the pop count is lower and it's cheaper, I'm going with Gunner.
I like it. I can go next. I just, you know, it took me a while because I had to go through my checklist, you know, so like.
Non-pitcher. Yeah. Okay. Check.
Yeah. Non-pitchers, both bonuses right there. Plus one. So Gunner, Volpe, I'm like a beggar. I like Gunner better in terms of potential. So that's plus one for Gunner. Topps Chrome, Bowman Chrome. I'm going to go for Bowman Chrome, obviously. That's, you know, the set I'm going for. So it's tied there. But then it's Blue Refractor versus regular Refractor, right? I love Blue Refractor. And then obviously the Blue Refractor is numbered to 150. Regular Refractor is 499. So the Blue Refractor, lower pop, lower serial number. Yeah, so Gunner kind of runs away with it at that point, despite being a Topps Chrome versus a Bowman Chrome. Yeah. So Gunner for me as well.
So true story. I was ripping 2020 Bowman like a champ in 2020, trying to chase Bobby Witt and Jason Dominguez. And I, in my common cards, before Volpe was a thing, I had a Volpe Refractor out of 499 Bowman Chrome that was in a just a top loader, just kind of like in the common cards. Long story short, I send it off to grading, dual auto. I get a PSA 1010 on it. Wow. I sell for 3,300 US. I think I might have sold at the peak on that specific card, and it was a common card that I pulled. But yeah, I sold it for 3,300. To say that that card's $1,000 now, that's crazy. But it, which is expected. Like, I mean, but I maybe it's still high, right? Because Volpe hasn't really proved himself in the big leagues. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be a great player. What concerns me is if he doesn't get that batting average up, because I think the power is going to lack. He's going to still hit 20 to 30 home runs, I think, but if he's hitting 250, 20 to 30 home runs, I don't think his prices are going to sustain themselves. On the other side, Gunnar Henderson, he could hit 30 to 40 every year. I don't think Gunnar's a, you know, 280 to 300 hitter either. So, I wouldn't buy both either, to be honest, but if I'm buying right now, it would probably be the Blue Refractor, just because I think Volpe has to do a lot of things for his prices to go to where it used to be. So I don't see it going there, especially this year, unless he goes off, which is he batting in the nine hole? Like, I don't know if he's going to get that chance.
Yeah, seven.
In seven hole, yeah, that's not going to probably cut it. So, yeah, I'm going to go Gunnar Henderson for that. And the fact that I sold it for, you know, at peak. I can't rebuy it.
I probably would have done the same.
Yeah.
I do that Volpe. Again, with Gunnar, I think he's just more, he's already there. I think Volpe is going to have a turnaround year for sure. I think he's going to have a better year. After that kind of rookie lull that he had. But yeah, it was a tough one. But you guys picked the Tops. Surprised me.
Yeah, it's surprising. Yeah.
Yep. I like that one, though. That's great. Yeah, you that guys did tough, well yeah. for your pick ones. Well, this is a marathon of an episode.
Put some time into it, so.
We appreciate the hard work you put into it. You know, that's always appreciated. But yeah, thanks, Chris Begg, and thanks, Jason Willow, for joining us on the pod. If you haven't subscribed to their pod, the Apple Taco Podcast, you need to, because baseball season started. They're going to have a lot to say throughout the season. They've already had a ton of great guests that are in the baseball world. So definitely, if you're a baseball fan, go subscribe to the Apple Taco Podcast. And you know what? We got to do this again. I know it's a long episode, but let's do it again during the All-Star break. I think that's a good point to reconvene and talk about all our picks that we talk made about, right yeah. in. All the picks that we totally screwed up on.
Or that's totally wrong on. That's what I was going to say.
Can't wait to see the Tigers top AL Central All-Star break. Can't wait.
I'll buy a Tigers jersey if that happens, okay?
So, done. Done.
Let's make it interesting.
It all right, pitcher jersey.
Scooble. All right. As always, thanks to all the listeners who come in every week to hear us talk about baseball cards, sports cards, and yeah, we'll have a brand new episode for you guys next week. Talk to you then. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to Cards to the Moon. We'd really appreciate you subscribing to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can also connect with each of us on Instagram at @5cardguys, or you can follow Hyung at Integrity Sports Cards, or John at TradeU@Recess. You can also check us out at 5cardguys.com. Thanks again, and hope to connect soon.